So did you ever move completely away from the laundry and live in a house separate from the laundry? And when was that? That wasn't in 1910 then.
No. That was in 1935.
Mm-hmm.
34 around, just before we went to, on the trip to China.
Mm-hmm. And where was the laundry at that time in 1935?
That was in the Civic Center here.
Civic Center?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how about the house?
The house was also in the Civic Center, just a block away from the business.
Did your family use Yatoi for medicine? Or?
Yes, we use herbs sometimes too, ordinary herbs, and we use it just like Westerners. Mint tea, or the drinks, mint julep.
What kind of things would herbs be used for?
Oh, for especially laxatives, or more or less similar to the Westerners using this Philippine magnesium, Excedrin for colds and so forth.
Did you actually, did you go see Chinese doctors when you were young?
Yeah, sometimes. When we had some aches and pains, we'd go and see them and use whatever herb tea they, or herbs they prescribe.
Do you remember how much it cost to see a Chinese doctor?
At that time, it was very reasonable. Usually an average of a dollar or so.
And then how much for the herbs?
Another dollar or so.
And this was around the 20s or 30s?
Yes.
20s?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
1920.
Did your parents, did your mother also use Yatoi for cooking?
Yes. It's exactly like Western cooking, your herbs to add flavoring, spice, enriching the foods or meats.
So when did you get introduced to Western medicine?
All along we were introduced to American medicine. When in school, the nurses helped us. With, if we had cuts or bruises, they used purified peroxide or whatever, alcohol, rubbing for pains and aches at their athletic events and so forth. And then, of course, when my sisters and brothers were born, we had an American, Western woman doctor took care of my mother and helped bring all my them in the world.
Was there a roughly a time when your family switched over from relying on Chinese medicine to more use of Western medicine?
No. Never. Oh yes, one time my father had a minor hernia ailment, and a Western doctor operated and removed it. And my father's health improved and lived. The time of the operation was when he was over 70 years of age too, and he lived until over way past 90.
But did your parents up until they passed away also use Chinese medicine alongside with Western medicine? One never actually replaced the other, right?
Not too much of the Eastern medicine or herbs anymore because they were impossible to buy as there were no exports from the old country anymore due to communistic restrictions. So we used more or less the Western medicine. Of course, we try to eat intelligently and not require too much of any additives which help keep our health in good condition.
Mm-hmm. How about when you were old enough to take care of yourself? Did you rely mostly on Chinese medicine or Western medicine?
I relied mostly on Western medicine as I know it better now as I grow older and as I've said before, you know, not much of the Chinese medicine were plentiful due to the strict importation rules.
Do you still use Chinese medicine?
A little. So, such as a very light ointment, something like Bengay in the Western medicines.
You mentioned last time that Chinese school was a place where, was also a place where Chinese could get together and was kind of a social gathering place.
True.
And also when you worked as a stock girl too, you mentioned that there were many Chinese and you could also get together there too. Were most of your friends Chinese or a mixture of both Chinese and Americans? Or?
My school days and working days were mostly together with all nationality of friends. As it's well known, America's a melting pot of this part of the Western world. And so I'm not prejudiced. Have many good friends and foreigners.
Did you feel more comfortable amongst Chinese?
No, the same with either nationality, foreigners or Chinese. I feel at home as always.
So, what was it that was particularly pleasant about Chinese school or working as a stock girl where there were many Chinese?
Well, at school was more or less social and to further the link of Chinese and its cultural, and then with working outside to earn the bread and butter that we needed that day when we were also small and not permitted to work in other positions like adults. So we had to accept whatever we had so that we could do to support ourselves to get the, buy the necessities that we need. I remember when I first started my stock girl job and in order to be on time and so forth, I would buy myself an alarm clock. And I still have it and it's still working. It's a West Clock, Big Ben, to help me to be on time to go to work.
It's a pretty old clock, huh?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Did you ever feel more Chinese or American?
Well, after all these over 70 years, I have no favoritism. I feel both, equally as Chinese, equally as an American, especially having been born here. And America is a wonderful country. And like they say, opportunity is golden here in America. I'm known the world over as the Golden State. So I think I would just call it my golden life.
How about back in the 20s, 30s, 40s? Did you feel more Chinese or American back then?
Yes, because of racial restrictions. But since then, it's much improved.
So because of the racial restrictions, you felt more Chinese back in those days?
No, I felt lost, to tell you the truth. Because we were so restricted And we didn't have many privileges, but we did and try our best to be as agreeable as possible to exist.
Mm-hmm. I think I asked you last time, too, whether you had faced any discrimination or...
Yes, I applied for a government position then in the post office especially, and I went through the examination and I passed the average points to requirement, but I was way down on the list and I never heard from them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever face any discrimination in movie theaters or restaurants or places like that?
Yes, we have faced it in the Western or American restaurants and in buying a home.
Mm-hmm.
There were only certain districts that we were permitted to buy, and not to mention it's not very nice district either. So we had to tolerate it, and then after World War II, everything was greatly improved, and then they realized that when we bought in that district, a restricted district, that our places were much more beautiful and improved than others around.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me any examples of discrimination in restaurants or movie theaters that you or anybody that you knew of?
Because of our color. Said we were in the yellow race, that it was an exclusive restaurant, that they said no table for us.
This is in a restaurant in Los Angeles?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you or anybody else who was with you protest or say anything back
no.
to these people?
No, we just accept their word and left. As it just goes to show, you know, that we have our cultural and upbringing, that we didn't want to be as, might say, in their caliber of cultural understanding.
Mm-hmm. Didn't that kind of thing, situation make you angry? When you weren't allowed to?
No, it didn't make me angry or us angry at all. It just goes to show that they're in business, they didn't care for their business. It's all right with us. We can go to other places.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things did you do for recreation when you were younger?
Well, we had social games of sports, baseball, and tennis, and with our YWCA and YMCA, they were all very good to all nationalities. We were in swimming, basketball, and sewing, and other activities for girls or boys.
So the YWCA and the YMCA was a place that
we met.
Where you met
in our young days. Yeah.
Was this a Chinese YMYW?
No, it's international. It's a well-known international institute on Boyle Avenue and New Falls Street and Third Street.
Were there many Chinese who went to the
Yes, there were many Chinese girls and boys in mm-hmm. social mm-hmm. affairs.
Mm-hmm. How about things done at home? What kind of relaxing things were done at home? Did you listen to Chinese music or, play Chinese instruments or play cards, mahjong, or anything
like that? Well, my girlhood then. Can I say very much, as I was always too busy with helping with my parents' business, and my brothers and sisters had the work I had to do in both, and school works, both schools, kept me very busy, so I cannot say much, except maybe when we did have time to play was tag, you're it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Getting back to this question of feeling Chinese or American, did you ever disagree with your family about being Chinese or American? Get into our discussions with them about it, especially since they were from the old country and you were born and raised here?
No, not very much, because my father was very brown, cultural in his way, of the old school, and always wanted us to do the best we know how, and strive to do bigger and better things to improve the family and the Chinese and the social surroundings and so forth. And also my mother was very brilliant and want to learn and do all she can to improve relationships with her family and the surrounding people's neighbors who were of all nationalities too, especially Hispanic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think the way you felt was typical of most Chinese here, or not typical as far as feeling comfortable being Chinese and being American and living in both worlds and having friends of all nationalities? Do you think
yes.
that was typical
yes,
of Chinese?
Yes, I think so, because we lived apart from the heart of Chinatown there, and so many people of my Chinese race did the same thing and learned the from their neighbors who were of different.
Mrs. Kwan, did your parents join any families, Chinese family associations?
Yes, the Long Family Association. And that's why you don't hear much about the Orientals, the Chinese especially, being on welfare as other nationalities. Because of this association, we usually meet together every now and then, especially on holiday occasions, Chinese New Year time, which is similar to the Westerners' Christmas time, to exchange gifts and at the same time acknowledge people who have gone on, passed on, or otherwise, and donations and whatnot to take care of the future, especially the elders.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents participate in family association activities?
Yes, they did, and every occasion, a donation, and then take part in whatever they're doing, especially a feast, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Besides banquets, what other kinds of activities did the associations have?
Oh, they pay respects to the deceased on Memorial Day, as Westerners do, and festivities of the main festival, similar to Westerners, but it's usually a season for planting vegetables and fruits and trees at that time. And then another occasion of the harvesting season to get together and have a feast on whatever they have harvested.
Mm-hmm. What were the dues?
The dues were usually whatever one can afford. The ones that do not have very much to pay in monies, where they might pay in with them as a volunteer help in preparation of the for the feast, or bring whatever they have produce in their gardens or their farms or whatever they can support.
What did your parents do? Did they make donations or did they bring in donations of other kinds? Or?
My parents, they did both. Donated in cash and also in vegetations and things that were grown in the garden.
Your parents had a garden in the...
Yes.
In the back of their house? Or?
Yes, at the side of the house where it was a vacant lot.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, he cultivated that very richly. As those days, it was horse and wagon days, so there was plenty of fertilizer for the soil,
mm-hmm.
which made things grow plentiful and beautiful.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of vegetables would he donate to the family association?
Donate mostly the seasonal vegetables, similar to Westerners, cucumbers, squashes, and greenery.
Were there Chinese vegetables too?
Mostly.
Like what?
And what they call, similar to Westerners, spinach, parsley.
Can you give me the Chinese names for these vegetables?
Yeah, such as bok choy, galang choy, gil choy, buddy, blue gua, sing gua, blow gua, buddy, blue gua.
Mm-hmm. How much vegetables would he donate in a year, for example, to the family associations?
Several bushels.
Several bushels.
Mm-hmm.
And roughly how much cash would he donate the association within a year?
Well, the laundry business being all done by hand brings in but little cash, and so my father donated as best as I could remember, $5 a year.
Mm-hmm. Did your parents join any district associations too?
Yes, the districts of where we came from, or he came from, in China, the village, to send back to take care of the elders and relations, if any, for their monetary expenses.
What was the name of the district association?
Tosan.
Mm-hmm. Did you continue active in family association activities after your parents passed on?
No, we don't participate in that so much as due to the communistic rulings of the world at that, in those parts, no inter-exchange and no trade, and so we could not do anything about it. And being born here in America, we are living to the American standards of living and doing the best we can, especially during those times of the Great Depression and World War I.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you haven't had any further contacts with family associations since you've been
True.
Which were the most important families in Los Angeles back in the 20s, 30s, 40s?
They were the Wongs, the Lees, and the Chans.
And why do you say the Wongs, Lees, and Chans?
Because those are the only ones that I know acquainted with the most.
Mm-hmm. Well, why do you consider them to be the most important families in Los Angeles?
Because that's all I hear about.
Do you think the Wongs, Lees, and Chans were any more wealthy or more powerful or socially, you know, had more status than any of the other families at all? Was that involved in that? Or just that your contacts were with these three families more than any others?
That's simply because of the contacts with these families that we more or less look out for each other during those World War One and World War Two days. We have to make the best and the most to handle our problems.
Mm-hmm. Which individuals do you consider to be prominent Chinese in LA before the war?
The most prominent ones were the people who were active in the produce market on contact with the farmers who bring the fresh produce. They were Wongs that I could remember.
Okay. What kinds of jobs were most Chinese engaged in before the war?
Most of the Chinese were engaged in that time in farming and family household work as a houseman, homemaker, doing the jobs of like the wives of those days, so the wife could just stay and take care of their children and manage the family affairs.
Mm-hmm. Were any of these jobs all Chinese or all non-Chinese?
They were mostly Chinese doing this kind of work, because the Americans always spoke highly of the Chinese being the best, honest, and thorough in whatever they're doing or appointed to do.
Did most Chinese live near other Chinese before World War II?
Yes, we did live close by to each other. So in case of emergency or any assistance is required, we're there.
So do you think the Chinese would have moved if the neighborhood changed in order to remain together?
We would have if the racial restrictions were not so strict.
What did people do with money that they saved? Was it saved in, you know, coffee cans under the bed, or gambled away, or sent to China, or spent, you know, on bogies, luxuries?
The people, Chinese people of those days, lived more from hand to mouth, so they really didn't have much to save, much money to save. They do. They usually put it in the bank so it could earn interest. And then for future use.
Did your parents save in the banks?
Yes, they did.
What about the fact, what about their English? Did that present a problem for some people as far as use of banks? They didn't know English very well. You know, wouldn't they be hesitant to deposit their money in the bank?
No, those days the bankers were very thoughtful, considerate, understanding that foreigners don't know English as fluent as they do, so they were very helpful, especially that time was the Bank of Italy, operated by Italians. They were very considerate, you know, as they were foreigners themselves.
Did your father use the Bank of Italy?
Yes, he did.
Where was the Bank of Italy?
It was located on Civic Center and Main Street.
Did many Chinese use the Bank of Italy, did they?
Yes, they did, because it was close to Chinatown.
Uh-huh. And you think that because they were a foreign bank, too, they catered better to the Chinese, too?
Yes, and other foreigners, too, because when I was in the bank, I noticed there were other foreigners besides myself.
Mm-hmm. Do you know of any Chinese who were involved in politics in China, for example, supporting the revolution in 1911?
No, I don't, because heard about Chinese politics so much that I'm being an American citizen, naturally I want to keep peace throughout the world, so I never took part or listened or learned any of the other foreign aspects of the politics, but only United States American politics.
Mm-hmm. How would China here be involved in U.S. politics?
Most of them consider politics which benefit the Far East and its business and peoples. They would consider taking part in.
Mm-hmm. Did you vote?
I vote as an American citizen for Americans.
Uh-huh. When did you begin voting?
When I was of age, 21.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Many Chinese feel they had obligations in China, for example, sending money back to support family or going back to visit or whatever.
Yes, the families who are from big families and prominent with many relations do send money back to help them, as they do need money for their children's education and necessities.
Mm-hmm. Was there support in any other way besides financial? Feelings of obligation in any other way besides financial?
Yes, there are feelings of obligations due to the times probably when they left China to come over here and visit or to study. Well, then most of the relations there pooled their resources together to send this person or persons over. That cost them their whatever savings they have had in China there.
So you think then that that person who was sent over was responsible for taking care of the family in China, more in the sense other than financial, but really in the sense of taking care of them and being responsible for the family?
Yes, that's true, because we have been taught to respect our elders and honor our parents and to return whatever great sacrifices they have made for us. And it is instilled in the Chinese culture that we require our attention and remembrances.
Were the Chinese in Los Angeles affected by the Depression?
Yes, the Depression did affect the Orientals a great deal.
In what way?
in the way of employment and scarcity of Oriental goods, necessities that are required in cooking and working tools.
And were there Chinese who were starving or finding it hard to make ends meet too because of lack of jobs and whatever? Do you remember cases like that?
Well, with the Chinese in America here, where we managed to make useful of everything, we managed to keep from starving. And so we had plenty among us. No, if not, we eat less, that's all.
What do you mean by make use of everything?
We make use of whatever extra foods, clothing, by remaking, recycling as it is known today.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that the Chinese on the whole had an easier time during the Depression than some other minorities or some other peoples here?
I think so, because look at the many millions of people in China. They're surviving due to the common sense of recycling and helping each other.
Mm-hmm. So would you consider that the Chinese have done better or worse than the general population of Los Angeles?
The Chinese have done very well. I wouldn't say worse or better. Culturally, this helped them to be at peace and happy.
Have you ever compared the Chinese with the Jewish people in the way of doing business, or have you ever heard anybody else make such comparisons?
I have not heard of the comparison of Chinese and Jewish in business dealings, only that they're similar. And, making the most and the best of everything.
Have you heard that from Chinese or heard that from Jews?
I heard it from both nationalities. While in America, naturally it'd be the Jews.
Mm-hmm. But you have heard Chinese?
Yes, I have heard a few.
Chinese here in the States have made that comparison?
Yes.
Did most Chinese men go back to China to get married before World War II?
Few did, and many of them probably because they had already served in the service, so they became American citizens, and they could get married to a woman in China to bring her over. Had that wonderful privilege. And many happy marriages have survived and the outcome of all that, though it's an unpleasant World War II. Mm-hmm.
Did many marry American-born Chinese? Many men marry American-born Chinese?
Yes, many have been married to American-born girls over here and are very happy and have large, happy families, too.
Mm-hmm. How about most of the men in your generation, it's either, did they return to China to get married, or did they marry American-born?
The men of my generation, some went to China to marry, but most of them married here in America, and to American-born.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think some of the men returned to China to get married?
They wanted to keep up with the Chinese culture and respect to their honor, their parents at the same time, by returning to the homeland to marry the woman that their parents and relatives have chosen for him to marry, so that they'd be well known to each other, and also the woman from the nearby village, so they have more relatives and in-laws to visit with, being close to the next village.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, when he brings her back to America, and at the same instincts, another home in America, so there'll be more traveling and visiting with relatives and in-laws.
Mm-hmm. Did you know of any cases of interracial marriage before the war?
Yes, there were intermarriages of different nationalities, but only certain states permitted that. So they had to go to that particular state to get married or carry on, live as common law marriage.
How did Chinese view interracial marriage back in those days?
The Chinese were not very happy about it, especially the Westerner, the American, was not happy at all, so it made it very unpleasant for the couple. But some have survived it happily with large families, and their families are very happy that they have a Chinese ancestral background at least.
Mm-hmm. Were American-born Chinese just as eager to have sons?
Yes, the Chinese are just like the Britishers and old established American families. Sons first. If they don't have one son, they get married again to be sure of having sons.
But I mean, we're talking about the American-born Chinese. Do you think they felt the same importance in having sons?
The American-born is the same throughout the days of their father and grandfather's days, to carry on the name.
Mm-hmm. So did any of your brothers and sisters feel the need to have sons or felt the importance of having sons?
My brothers are much younger than I am, and they're more thoroughly Westernized, Americanized than I am, and so they don't think that way. So either way, a son or a daughter is equally as welcome to